You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. We got to do a spring game recap because the Oregon Ducks landed three commitments last week. They also hosted, as we previewed last week, a number of big-time visitors. How did that go? We'll talk about it. But we also had, and we taped it a little early to make sure he could do it, but we had five-star quarterback DJ Uiagalelei on the show to talk about his top three, his actual decision date. There's been some decision date rumors out there. He said, I actually haven't set a date. So we'll talk about when he plans to commit. It is soon. It's just not the day everyone's reporting. He breaks down what he likes about his top three. But first, the Oregon Ducks landed three commitments over the past week. Four-star athlete Anthony Beavers Jr., a class of 2021 commit from Narbonne High School. That's a big get. He's good friends with, not only is he a really talented player, but he's good friends with four-star running back Seven McGee, the number three running back in the entire country, who's also committed to Oregon. I think anytime you get two guys that are really close and they're buddies, and I know Seven's fairly new to the area, but they've bonded fairly quickly. Anytime you can kind of solidify a high-level commitment with another high-level commitment who's also his friend and teammate, that's a good thing. It just sort of solidifies things for you. Now, they always have that, you know, we can play at Oregon. Now, they almost both have to change their mind for one of them to change their mind, if that makes sense. We saw that with modern-day guys as well. Yes, Oregon lost Jeremiah Crudell, but they were so solid with Mace Funa, with Ware Hudson, and with Sean Dollars, that it really solidified that group. And you felt like, even though there was a push for Mace Funa to end up at USC, at the end of the day, he stuck with Oregon, and he stuck with Oregon because he liked Oregon, but also there was that layer where he had teammates there. I think that's a big get for the Oregon Ducks, Anthony Beavers Jr. They also land four-star wide receiver Chris Hudson. Chris Hudson had an offer from USC. He's at St. John Bosco. He is one of the main targets for DJ Uiagalelei, and that's huge because you want to get his receivers. You want to give him every reason possible to come. And again, not only that, not only do you get a tie with a teammate, but also he's a really good receiver in his own right. And then Jaden Navarette, who flipped from LSU, another big-time get, one of the top edge rushers, I think, in the country, potentially. A big-time talent. He's listed as the number 14 athlete in the nation. He is that defensive end outside linebacker. And he was really interesting. I had a chance to talk to him right after his commitment. And he said, you know, Oregon really sold me on the way they want to use me and the style of play in the Pac-12 versus the SEC. The SEC is so much smash mouth, run game. And he said, I'm versatile. And linebackers today in the NFL have to be versatile. If you're not like a pure edge rusher, you need to be able to drop back into coverage. You need to be able to cover a slot receiver, cover a running back in the flat. And he said, Oregon's going to allow me to do that and move me around. So they showcase me better as a versatile NFL prospect. I thought that was interesting. I thought also, I think there's just a little bit of, with it being so smash mouth and having to stick your head in there in the SEC, there's a little bit of Pac-12 football is a little bit less physical. And not that he's afraid of physical play, that's not what I'm saying. It's just, he keeps his body fresh. He showcases what he can do and he keeps his body fresh. So they get those three commitments. And you think, okay, it was a huge weekend. And yet, honestly, and I set the over-under at 3.5. They got three. I think that's very solid. There's a reason it was 3.5. But I don't know if most fans understand that the three guys that committed weren't on campus for the spring game. Oregon saved up some commitments and had them come out during the spring game. No one that actually stepped on campus for the spring game for Oregon committed during that weekend. Now, they may have silently committed, and I think we're going to see that down the road. But spring game can go really well. Those guys are paying for their own visit. You're excited about it. But they didn't get a commitment from a kid on campus that weekend. And as much as everybody wants to hype it up and say it was a fantastic weekend, it was huge for Oregon, it was. They got a number of big-time kids to come visit campus on their own dime. That's huge. That shows there's genuine interest. But this West Coast group is elite. And a lot of them are being recruited by Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan. It's not just competing against USC and UCLA and Washington. The big boys nationally are involved in California because Oregon showed last year that California is kind of right now up for grabs. USC might have not a great year this year. Clay Helton might be gone next year. UCLA has not recruited well with Chip Kelly. California is not a stranglehold for USC and UCLA. So some of these national schools, especially since there's some five-star talents, are coming in there. So yes, Oregon got some interest, but I think you start to wonder just a little bit if this class is not shaping up to be an elite top 10 class like we've talked about in the past. I've said, I think this is a year where Oregon finishes somewhere from 14 to 20. And it's stuff like this. I think Oregon's very much in the mix for a number of high-level kids. They're in the mix for a number of high-level kids, but they're running second and third. And last year when we looked at this, last year when we went back and looked at the spring game, I would have said they were the leader for four or five or six big names. And they landed most of them. It is hard to come from behind second, third, fourth right now and jump consistently and land top-level kids. It just is. These guys have been thinking about their recruitment since they were freshmen in high school, sophomores in high school. So by now, we're in. If this is a race, if it's a mile, they're in the last lap of that mile. People think, you know, they're juniors, they're going to be seniors next year. It's the beginning of the recruiting process. It's very much not the beginning of the recruiting process. It's kind of the last lap. And Oregon right now is probably running second, third, or fourth, going in that last lap for a number of elite kids. And there was energy around the spring game. The kids I interviewed said they had a great time at the spring game. All positive reviews. And yet there wasn't a commitment from a kid that was on campus that weekend. I think it's not an issue in the sense that it's bad for the program. I don't think Oregon, you say, they did a bad job. They're not closing. I just think it speaks to what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing in the class of 2020, that Oregon's in the running for a lot of really good kids. They'll get a lot of really good kids on campus. They'll even land a lot of really good kids. But this is not going to be a class where they finish number one in the Pac-12. It's probably not a class that's going to rival this past year's class that was the best in the Pac-12 and the best in program history. It's probably going to finish in the top five or six in program history. And that's okay. That's great. You're happy with it. You say, hey, we're Oregon. We're going to have a top 20 recruiting class. People used to say it was really tough to recruit here. We're going to get some good players. I'm happy with it. But if you're thinking, man, Oregon just hit a home run, a grand slam with that spring game, let me remind you, 2 years ago, Oregon landed seven kids this weekend, the weekend of the spring game. Last year, they landed four, and two of them, I believe, went into their visit not thinking they were going to commit, and they committed. This year, they got three, and all three visited the weekend before the spring game. Nobody committed out of this spring game yet, although I do think they got a silent commitment or two. Let's call it two, Marcus. Let's call it two silent commitments. Just saying. That's where I think this is headed. But again, if you're all excited, three commitments, they hit another home run. This is one of those pump the brakes moments where you say, okay, solid class, but if it's really one of those elite all-time classes, they probably leave this weekend with two or three visitors committing.
Yeah. I don't think they did a bad job. I think just in general, getting all those guys there, like you said, on their own dime, I mean, that's huge, right? I think everybody's different when it comes to recruiting. I know a lot of guys, you know, and you probably know it just as well as some guys, it's just hard to commit on the spot, you know. It's kind of hard to make that commitment as a young kid. But, you know, I'd give it a little bit. But I don't think Oregon's in, you know, like you said, in danger of being a really – or at least going to, what'd you say, top 15 to top 20 maybe?
In the country.
Yeah.
We're not talking about slipping out of the top 10 in the Pac-12 or anything like that. And that's the thing is, I'll always shoot you straight. I'm not trying to sell you a subscription. I'm not trying to sell you on Oregon's going to be phenomenal. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I just see the writing is on the wall for Oregon to have a solid recruiting class, but not an elite one. And when people ask me, why do you say that? What makes you say that this early? One, it's not that early anymore. Kids are committing sooner and sooner. And last year I was hearing Oregon's my leader at this time last year. This year I'm hearing Oregon's second, Oregon's third. They're right there. Oregon's in my top three. I love Oregon. But they're not my number one school. They're not my dream school. You know, I wrote that Jeremiah Crudell and Sean Dollars were Oregon leans when they were sophomores in high school. Now, they both committed to Oregon. Jeremiah Crudell at the end ended up at Oklahoma. Surprised some people. Not, you know, I had predicted he'd pick Oklahoma on ESPN because the writing was on the wall there. There was some behind-the-scenes stuff going on. But I was able to see that Sean Dollars, and a lot of people were, that Sean Dollars was probably going to end up at Oregon when he was a sophomore in high school. And what I'm saying to you right now is when these guys were sophomores in high school, a lot of them weren't saying Oregon. And Oregon was in their top group, but not their school. And I'm going to shoot you straight. It's going to be a good class, but it's not going to be the number one class in the Pac-12. it's probably not going to be a top 10 class nationally. There are some ways that changes. And if you're one of those people that's just a silver lining Duck fan, Andrew's not selling us the absolute what I want to hear. One of the ways that things get better in a hurry is you land the number one prospect in the entire country, like Oregon did last year with Kayvon Thibodeau. This year, they're in the hunt for the number one player in the country. He's five-star quarterback DJ Uiagalelei.
And you got that right.
I know.
Ooh, props to you, man. I just had to say it, man. I was trying to look at it, say it, and I was like, I don't even know how to say that.
Uiagalelei. He's down to a top three. He'll talk about his top three in the next segment. And he's also set to commit next month. There's been reports that he's going to commit within a few days. He'll straighten all that out and talk about his Oregon visit for the spring game and also his top three next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
He's the nation's number one overall prospect, the number one quarterback, obviously, in the country, and one of the top-rated prospects of the last decade. He's DJ Uiagalelei, and he joins me now. DJ, how you doing, man?
Good, how you doing? Pleasure to have me on the show, man.
No, I really appreciate it. You just visited Oregon, and you visited with your family. The photos looked like you had fun. How was it?
Yes, sir. Oh man, it was amazing. You know, it was good to be back up there. I mean, that was my fourth time, so I love it up there. It's a great place, but it was my first time for my mom, dad, and my brother to go up there and see it. So, you know, it was a great trip. We had a great time.
Family is so important to you. I imagine them seeing it is a big part of the recruiting process, that any school that you would go to, you would want mom and dad's approval. How big of a factor is the parents signing off and saying, yeah, this is a good place for our son?
I mean, that's a huge factor for me. You know, family is the second most important thing in my life. So, I mean, having my family's opinion on where I'm going and then having their comfort level is as good as me, knowing that they're good with me going to that college is all I want. It's a family decision. It's not just mine. It's a family decision for me.
Dan Fouts, Dennis Dixon, Jeremiah Masoli, and, of course, Marcus Mariota, all there, former quarterback, Oregon Duck quarterbacks, Oregon Duck legends. Did you get a chance to meet those guys, and what was that experience like?
Yes, sir. You know, I got to meet Masoli. You know, that's my favorite quarterback ever, Jeremiah Masoli. That's a legend right there. That's a living legend. And I also got to meet Marcus Mariota, too. You know, that's my second favorite quarterback. So, you know, just getting to meet those two guys, that's two quarterbacks I grew up watching. Masoli is kind of the person that showed me that it was okay for Polynesian quarterbacks to go out there and go play. You know, he was the first guy I watched as a Polynesian. Out there balling and playing football and just putting Polynesian quarterbacks on the map, putting them back on the map. There's a lot of Polynesian quarterbacks before Masoli, but there wasn't a lot during that time.
I saw a lot of photos that you posted. I also saw a huge number of photos that fans posted of you. I know when you come to campus, right, whether it's Clemson, Oregon, Mount SAC, wherever you go, you are a walking legend to those fans. Were you surprised by the reception you got from Oregon fans? Because it did seem like, I mean, it would be overwhelming for almost anybody, let alone a high school kid.
Oh, yes, sir. You know, it was crazy. Just getting there, just, you know, seeing all the love that the fans showed at the game, you know, it was pretty crazy. It was awesome, you know. It got crazy at times, but it was cool. It was definitely a cool experience, just feeling all the comfort they had, all the Oregon fans after me. It's pretty cool.
Who's the coach on Oregon's staff that you're closest to? What's that relationship like?
Coach Royal. Coach Royal, you know, I talk to him a lot. He texts me every day, so we text every day, but he's probably the closest I am. I talk to him a lot. Him and Coach Cristobal are really good guys. I like them a lot.
Putting you on the spot a little bit with this question. Trevor Lawrence at Clemson obviously would be there another year once you get on campus. With Oregon, there's an open starting job potentially right away. How much does playing immediately factor into your decision? Is it important? Is it way down the list? Where does that stack up for you?
I mean, for me, it's kind of the best fit for me. So there's a lot of things I factor in. It's playing early like that. The offense fits me. It's just a lot of things I factor in. I mean, it is a big part of my playing early, I guess. But, I mean, that's not, like, the biggest thing for me. I just want to be put in the right system where I can learn and develop and be able to get to the next level.
Did you happen to see that Madden 2020 released the 10 schools quarterbacks can play at. When you create a player, you can create a quarterback. Did you see the 10 colleges?
What were they?
Clemson and Oregon both made it. You've made a good choice. Let's get you on the spot here. You have not, I don't know if you've officially said your top list, but you are deciding sometime next month. You have not given a date, despite the fact that it's been reported a lot of places. One, have you set a date? And two, who are your finalists?
I have not set a date, but people have said May 5th, but I'm not sure yet. I know I'm going to commit sometime in May, but my top three schools are Clemson, Oregon, and Mount SAC.
Let's preview each of those real quick. So we'll start with Mount SAC because that's the surprise one to a lot of people in terms of traditional college football powers. What stands out about Mount SAC?
Mount SAC, that's my favorite college. I've grown up a Mount SAC fan since day one. I'm a SAC dog to the day I die. And I've had all my family's been to Mount SAC. I've been to almost every single Mount SAC game. That's where I heard about Jeremiah Masomi from Mount SAC. He beat us. He was at San Francisco City College. He beat Mount SAC in the state championship back in like 2010 or something. But that's my favorite college, and I've been to every single Mount SAC game. And family, I have big family ties down there.
Clemson, what stands out about Clemson?
Clemson's a great place. I like the coaching staff over there. Great tradition over there. Cool place to be at. It's a warm welcoming over there. I like them a lot. I have a good relationship with them.
University of Oregon, what do you like about the Ducks?
I like Oregon. You know, and I have a good relationship again with the coaches over there. Great facilities, great people. I know a lot of players on the team. A lot of players committed there. It's close to home, and it's just a great atmosphere at the games over there.
We're talking to DJ Uiagalelei, the number one prospect in the nation. You've talked a little bit about Jeremiah Masomi. And I don't think people realize that until someone breaks the barrier and shows that you can have a high level of success on a major stage, you know, depending on height, race, whatever the case may be, where you're from, that until somebody does that, there is no one for kids to emulate. Jeremiah Masomi was that guy for you. What did his play at Oregon mean to you as a kid growing up playing the quarterback position?
Definitely. You know, he meant a lot to me. He was the person that basically I saw first Polynesian quarterback. I saw that it kind of told me it's okay for a Polynesian quarterback to say, like, man, I can go out there and do the same thing he's doing and play on the big stage as a Polynesian quarterback. You know, he was a guy for me that set the mold and wanted me to be a quarterback and compete at a high level like that and be like him. So that's why Masomi's my inspiration for quarterback.
You're watching the draft, I'm sure, today a little bit. I know we're taking up some of your time here, but are you looking at that and saying, kind of studying body language, seeing how guys react and saying, someday that could be me? Do you look at that and it motivates you to say, man, I might be there in 3 or 4 years? Or are you just a normal fan today just enjoying a draft?
I mean, I'm just enjoying the draft, but yeah, also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about, yeah, that's where I want to be in about 4 years. That's what I plan on doing, and that's where I want to be at. Yeah, so like, man, that would be a pretty cool experience just to be able to get drafted and stuff like that.
Kyler Murray was named the number one pick. The Arizona Cardinals took him number one. Similar situation to you in some ways. He is a big-time baseball prospect. He was picked in the first round. You are a good, very good baseball player, and the MLB draft could be in your future. Is that something that officially remains on the table, that you could end up going the baseball route, or do you think at this point you're almost certain to go college football?
No, definitely, yeah. No, definitely the draft coming out of high school is definitely a major factor in what I'm doing right now. I would like to get drafted, and then just depending on where I get drafted, if this decides if I go play college football or if I don't, that's a huge factor.
How closely were you watching the Kyler Murray situation this year in terms of, you know, not only the money, but how he handled it, the timing of it, the way that it all played out? I imagine for you, that's a really big test case because guys like him and you don't come around that often.
Definitely. You know, I watched every single step of it, you know, just from a branding, just watching it from a fan and also from a branding aspect, that I felt like he could have used that kind of like as a branding leverage and could have took that like to the whole, could have like really used that to get like a certain branding. Because if he would have started, maybe thought about this earlier, he could have had that during the season, kind of like a brand. He would have built his brand even bigger. And just for like the NFL draft, how much money he would have got for it, and just the endorsement stuff.
That's a big factor now for kids. They think about it really early, their brand. We've seen, you know, Kyler Murray, as you said, has a brand. Damian Lillard just hit a big shot for the Blazers locally, and that became kind of his brand. What if I said, okay, 5 years from now, you're going to have a brand that is what DJU is all about? What is your brand?
It's somebody somebody that's about that action. That's what I would say. Just somebody that's ready to go. Always TTG, trying to go, just always ready to go. Always on it, just staying 10 toes down, just ready to compete.
You know what I would throw in there for you? I would throw in the fact that you're very humble. I've talked to a number of five-star kids. You're very accessible. You're very honest. And you're really dedicated to your family. And I think those are things sometimes, those behind-the-scenes things that people don't really get to see, that I think need to be a part of athletes' brands more. Because they see the on-field stuff, and they're going to see you shine in college football.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what stands out about you beyond football is how easy you are to talk to. You're really easy to talk to. And you don't have an ego about it. I think that's important to your brand too, to remain humble and to be one of those guys who's very easy to talk to. Is how did you grow up being like that? Because there are a lot of kids who get to this point, they get jaded and they aren't as accessible. They don't like doing interviews because they've done them a bunch of times. Every time I talk to you, you're engaged. Where did you learn to be like that?
I mean, it starts at home with my mom and dad, the way they raised me. But also, I mean, it's just my relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, he's my Lord and Savior. So, I mean, just keeping him first, he keeps me grounded, keeps me humble. And then that's where it starts from. And then just my mom and dad, the way they've raised me and the way they've taught me different things. I mean, that's where it all started from, those two people.
Your brother went on your visit with you to Oregon. He has an offer from Oregon. He got one in the eighth grade. I imagine he has a little bit of say. I mean, he's not the deciding factor by any means, but I imagine the whole family's going to sit down and give a little bit of a vote before you decide. Who gets a vote for you? Do you have a girlfriend that gets a vote? Do parents get a vote? Is it about prayer and you get a message that you feel like is home? Who gets a vote in your decision?
I have no girlfriend, and then my brother.
He's single, ladies.
But my brother, that's his organization, same college. That's his dream. Down in other words, in his dream school. But, I mean, for me, the choosing out of this college is just, I just pray about it, you know, talk about it with my family, just pray about it, and just ask God just to show me a way, and ask him to open up the door, which college to choose, and ask him what's the best fit for me. That's all I ask for, is to have him show me which college to take. And whatever college tells me, that's what I'm going to do.
He's DJ Uiagalelei. He is the highest-rated quarterback you can possibly be, the number one player in the country, also the most complete quarterback in about a decade. DJ, best of luck with your decision wherever you go. I hope it feels like home. I don't care whether it's Oregon, Clemson, or Mount SAC. I'll be wishing the best for you and your family.
Yes, sir. Appreciate talking to you every time. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Have a good one. I don't want to play spoiler here, Marcus. It's not going to be Mount SAC. He's not going to Mount SAC.
You know, when he said that, I was sitting, I was like, Mount SAC? I was like, wait, what?
But he's got family ties to the program. He likes the program. And sometimes guys will throw in a local school just to give them some pub and give them some hype and give them some attention. He's done that a lot on Twitter. He talks about Mount SAC a lot. He grew up going to their games. So it's like, why not? And I think if you're an Oregon fan, the takeaway is it's Oregon and Clemson. And the Polynesian pipeline at quarterback in particular matters to him. I mean, Jeremiah Masoli, Marcus Mariota, and I thought it was interesting, for as much as Oregon fans care about Marcus Mariota, and they should, of course, he won a Heisman. There's no way you can knock Marcus Mariota, particularly at his time at Oregon. Jeremiah Masoli meant more to him. And meeting Jeremiah Masoli clearly meant more to him. And I think that's really interesting.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why Mario Cristobal and the staff, they're so smart, man. Like, let's be real. I'm sure he's made it public. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but if he's made it public that Jeremiah Masoli is a big reason why, you know, it's a big inspiration or a big hero for him, you know, regardless if they were going to bring him back or not, it's a good thing that they did for the spring game, right? It's just
makes
smart.
Sense to bring him.
Yeah, it's so smart. It's that's why it's hats off to them. The Ducks have really, they've stepped up their game to a point where, you know, you're in the conversation of getting the best player in the country. So that, I mean,
for the second year in a row,
that's just crazy. So, I mean, just seeing stuff like that, they're using every aspect of their game that they can, and they're smart for it because it's working.
We'll get you updated on the draft picks that have just happened, and I'll give you a realistic look at DJ Uyunglele's final three. Where do I think he's going to go? I'll make a prediction. I'll also lay out Oregon's roadmap should he go elsewhere. That's next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
From game tapes to junior days to recruiting visits, this is where it happens. Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, featuring Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Isaac and Souk had a draft day party, and they left you when the show ended at right around 13 in terms of the NFL draft picks. So we'll go down here from 14 to 20. Marcus, who's been selected?
All right. Coming in at 14, we have Chris Lindstrom, guard from Boston College. The Atlanta Falcons picked him up. At 15, the Washington Redskins picked Dwayne Haskins, the QB from Ohio State.
Dude, I saw him in high school, and really? He was currently committed at the Nike, the opening camp. It was Elite 11. He was currently committed to Maryland, and I watched him throw. And after that, because there's, you know, the quarterback coaches there all immediately are going to get on their phones and talk to people. Literally, I watched him throw in day one and went, well, day one of competitive play, and went, there's no way in the world he's sticking with Maryland. Ended up at Ohio State. That kid was a no-question high-level draft pick coming out of high school. He's one of the ones I liked at the Elite 11. I've also been wrong a number of times. I thought Trevor Lawrence looked solid. I thought he'd be in the NFL, but I didn't think he'd be like a 1-1 guy. He's probably a 1-1 guy. So I've been wrong before. But Dwayne Haskins was not a high-level quarterback when he was committed to Maryland, and he ended up being a pretty good one.
Yeah, being a Giants fan, man, watching us pass up on him was a little heartbreaking.
You're a Giants fan?
I like them. I like Raiders and Giants, man.
So if you're the Giants, not only do you draft Daniel Jones, who some people felt like wasn't a first round pick at number six, but you also traded away Damon Harrison, a defensive tackle last year, who's a Pro Bowler, borderline Pro Bowl guy. Then you draft defensive tackle at the spot that you got for trading away Odell Beckham.
Just
so
painful.
all you really did with the Odell Beckham trade is substitute out Damon Harrison for, I think it's Dexter Lawrence is who they ended up getting as a defensive tackle. That is a tough, tough way to lose two stars and just add a young defensive tackle. That's all you got out of it for the most part. I know they got, who's the safety they picked up in that trade too from the guy I hate. He was Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, Jabril
He's
Peppers.
The worst Heisman finalist I've ever seen.
Are you sure that's a bold statement?
Ever. Mark it down, whatever. I don't care.
Document it.
That dude's highlight film was stupid. I mean, stupid. He made unreal plays. He also guessed so often that he was in the wrong spot about half the time. There was some college football grade thing, and he was in a plus minus of an average player. He was a minus like six different games that season. He was not a good – he was an amazing freakish athlete, but he was not a consistently good football player. He put up monster numbers because he guessed. So the times he guessed, he got a tackle for loss as a safety. The times he guessed wrong, he got torched. I'm telling you, not a great pick in the first round by any stretch, and the worst Heisman finalist I've ever seen. Didn't necessarily even think he deserved to be an all-conference guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I got to play against him when we went to Michigan.
Oh, now you're going to tell me how great he is.
No.
Don't do it, Marcus. Don't you do that
anyways,
to me.
Moving on in the draft. Coming at 16, Carolina Panthers select Brian Burns, edge rusher from Florida State. At 17, my Giants picked up Dexter Lawrence, as you just said, defensive tackle from Clemson. At 18, Minnesota Vikings picked up Garrett Bradbury, center from North Carolina State. 19, Tennessee Titans picked up Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle from Mississippi State. And 20, the Denver Broncos picked up Noah Fant, tight end from Iowa.
One, Noah Fant is a freak.
Yeah, he is.
They showed that he won a state championship in basketball in high school and also was the triple jump state champion. And he's a big dude. I think he's going to end up being a really good one. And then at 19, if you're Marcus Mariota, I think you're frustrated if you're the Titans. I consider the Titans a team that's kind of right on the edge of being a contender. Now, they're going to make the playoffs probably. You know, they're on the bubble there. But now's the time. You've got a quarterback on a rookie contract. He's going to not be on a rookie contract much longer. So you've got a team set up to be really good. And you just took Jeffrey Simmons, who, by all accounts, looks like he's going to have to essentially have a redshirt year because of, I believe he's injured, right?
Yeah, he is.
So I know he's supposed to be a top three or four pick had he been healthy, but he's going to sit out a year, and it's one of the years that you feel like you should be able to make a run as the Titans, I actually don't like that pick for them, even though I like the player a lot. Jeffrey Simmons, big-time player. Yeah, he's got some off-the-field issues, and he might not play at all next year, and you're built to win now. I don't get it.
Yeah, you just – I mean, I always look at it as offensive mind since I was a running back, but you just have to build around – I mean, you got to – he's not – Marcus Mariota isn't a bad NFL quarterback. When he's healthy, I think he's great, right? I think he's pretty darn good. You just have to build around that, but you're right. If you have him on a rookie contract, you're not going to have him on a rookie contract much longer. So you might as well, like you said, throw all your chips in, right? Worst comes to worst, I mean, you'll end up like the Giants. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
Oliver Maroney tweeted out a picture of Daniel Jones and Eli Manning standing side by side.
Oh, yeah,
Did you see that picture?
Yeah. Oh,
they
look
remarkably similar.
They have a type.
Dave Gettleman has a type.
He has a type.
It's not playing style, except not very good at quarterback, but he has a type. It's a white guy with the brown hair swooped to the side with
perfect.
The part. Yeah. Man, yeah, oh, man.
It's rough, but anyways, it's all right.
But Montez Sweat is still there. And if you're the Titans and you want to get better right away on defense, Simmons isn't going to be that guy. But Montez Sweat, some people thought he was a top 6 or 7 pick. And if he's falling to that level and you need to get better right now, I think the Titans maybe could have looked at Montez Sweat and felt pretty good about that pick.
Yeah, they still have him as the best available. Then it goes Jawan Taylor.
Josh Jacobs still sitting there, too. From Florida, running back from Alabama.
Yeah, and DK Metcalf.
See, Jawan Taylor is another one that helps your offensive line. I know the Titans have a pretty solid offensive line. Some people are going to shout, no, but they've got some pieces in there that are young that are pretty good. Maybe you add Jawan Taylor to the mix. I just think the Titans, when you're in win now mode, you don't take a guy you're going to redshirt.
Yeah.
DJ Uiagalelei laid out his top three. Mount Sac was on there. Clemson was on there. Oregon was on there. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for Duck fans. I do not think he's going to pick Oregon. I don't care whether it's May 5th or later in May. I do think it's more likely that he goes with Clemson. If you look at, and I mean, that's not only kind of what I'm hearing at this point, and that's what Oregon has almost signaled with the way they've handled the quarterback position. They are starting to maybe recruit some other guys. But also, you look at the 24/7 sports predictions. I think there's like 30 in for total. Oregon has one, and Clemson has like 26. I think he's going to end up at Clemson for a number of reasons, but I don't think that's necessarily the end of the world. Yes, you'd love to have him. You'd love to have him, right? Because he's the number one player in the country. Of course you'd love to have him. But Oregon's in pretty good shape for the number two pro-style quarterback in the country, Jay Butterfield, 6'6", 210 pounds, can sling it. I actually think, and when we had Huffman on a few weeks ago, we talked about the most essential kids in the country for them to get. He didn't say DJ. He said he thought DJ was probably going to Clemson. He said Jay Butterfield, and I think he's right. I think Jay Butterfield will define this class. If they get DJ, long odds, or Jay Butterfield, I think Oregon has a chance to really leapfrog what I've kind of projected, which is a top 14 to 20 class in the country, 13 to 20 class in the country. But if they get Jay Butterfield, I think they have a chance to maybe get in the upper crust of the high teen, 11, 12, 13, that kind of range. If they're able to get a guy like Jay Butterfield, who is a phenomenal quarterback, would be one of the highest rated quarterbacks in the history of the program.
Yeah, that, I mean, are you sure though with DJ? Are you sure?
No, you're never sure. Yeah,
But here's
the thing, though, Marcus, yeah. And it's a good question. Last year, everyone said Alabama, right? I mean, do you remember all the predictions? 100% of predictions that day were Alabama.
Yeah.
And I tweeted right before he announced, I know everyone's saying Alabama, and it could be Alabama. But the last intel I had was that this was very, very, very close. And this is not it's easily Alabama. That has more to do with people thinking traditionally five-star defensive linemen end up at Alabama over
Absolutely.
Oregon. Not necessarily Kayvon's situation. Kayvon is tight-lipped about it, but last I heard, it was very, 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 very close. And he picked Oregon. This time I'm saying it's going to probably be Clemson.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'll be real with Oregon fan. I always will. I will always shoot you straight. I didn't say Oregon has a chance with Kayvon just for people to click on my story and see what was going to happen. I really thought Oregon had a chance. This time I'm saying I think it's unlikely. Unlikely. That he picks Oregon.
It's always crazy, too, because just last second, you never know. I know when DeAnthony Thomas picked the Ducks over USC. Do you remember that?
No one saw that coming.
No one at all. Do you remember seeing that? I remember watching
the
video.
Yes, oh, my gosh.
What was his name? He had his offensive line. One of his homies, I guess, was sitting right next to him, and he looked so mad. He looked like he was betrayed, man. I was like, man.
Well, he was a legend.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a legend in, like, middle school. And Snoop Dogg is the one who named him Black Mamba.
Yeah.
I mean, he got his name from Snoop Dogg, who's a USC like super fan. It seemed like a foregone conclusion. And then he just wanted to get out of L.A.
Yeah.
And he saw an opportunity to be a focal point offensively in outside of the L.A. area in a high-powered offense. The other thing people forget about DeAnthony Thomas, USC was primarily looking at him at defense. Do you know that he played only defense in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl?
Really?
Do you know how he did?
Uh-uh.
Led the game in tackles.
Oh.
As a corner.
I remember he was down. He was on kickoff a couple times.
He was a monster on defense, too.
Yeah, he was certainly and nobody will say this. I guess people who grew up in a way and played football in Oregon as high schools, and probably, you know, in California, too. But, man, DeAnthony Thomas, I think he was so influential to my game and, like, how I wanted to play. I mean, I changed my number as soon as he went to Oregon. This comes from an Oregon State guy. I love the Beavers. But the way DeAnthony Thomas played and how much swag he had, I was like, it's unreal. I changed my number to 6 as soon as that happened. I was like, I'm going to be number 6.
And again, we've talked about this on the show in the past that I think you could make a strong argument that he's the biggest game changer recruit Oregon's ever had on top of Marcus, not as an individual impact. Marcus won a Heisman Trophy. DeAnthony Thomas was very, very good. And no one's taking that away. But his leaving opened the door for other kids to like, what's going on up north, and to check it out. And I've interviewed dozens of kids who have said, man, I grew up loving DeAnthony Thomas in Oregon.
Absolutely.
He was so fun to watch from California. Dozens. And not all of them ended up there, but a lot of them took a visit and they were like, I wanted to see why he left, because that's crazy that he left.
Yeah, there's like, that's like a given, right? Everyone was, like you said, everyone had USC, which would make sense, but that's the biggest L for USC, man.
Like, they've taken some.
Oh, it's huge.
Serious L's.
DeAnthony Thomas, man, come on. That's like next level. But I do have to say, the Green Bay Packers with the 21st pick,
sliding on in.
They took Darnell Savage, the safety out of Maryland.
That's one of the best names in the history of football for a safety.
Darnell Savage.
Savage. He's going to have a jersey. You can get a Packers jersey right now that says Savage on the
back. The Ducks have that. He's offensive lineman from Alabama. Dallas Warmack.
Warmack's
that,
good.
That has to be a top. That's one of the top names I've
if
heard.
If you're trolling your rival, Oregon's recent commitment, Anthony Beavers.
Oh, yeah,
Is real good.
I saw that. I was like, Anthony Beavers. And I don't know why. It really confused me because I saw it because you tweeted it out. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, really? It's like that? I was like, man, what's up with these guys?
With the 22nd pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles have selected Northwest star Washington State offensive tackle Andre Dillard. I know we have some Washington State fan listeners. Andre Dillard goes with the 22nd pick overall to the Philadelphia Eagles, protecting their quarterbacks. They've had a problem keeping their quarterbacks healthy. But next, one of the local teams might end up with the number one recruiting class in the entire country. We'll tell you who it is and how it's stacking up next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080.
From 5 stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
So one of the in-state programs is shaking out to maybe have the number one recruiting class in the entire country. They're certainly going to be in the discussion. And to no one's surprise, it's Kelly Graves' Oregon Ducks women's basketball program. They landed Sydney Parrish. We talked about it, the number one guard in the country. Now, the way ESPNW does this, they list point guard and guard separately. So she's essentially the number one shooting guard in the nation. And then this weekend, they landed the number 7 forward in the nation, the number 33 prospect overall, Angela Dugalich. She's currently a 4-star prospect. But in the last 2 years, ESPNW has made, when it's that class's cycle, they bump the top 53 girls up to 5 stars. So when they're sophomores and juniors, they only have like the top 20 or the top 30 be 5-star prospects. But once it's your year, once you're a senior, every year they make the top 53 girls in the country 5-star prospects. Angela Dugalich is at number 33, so she will be the second 5-star prospect in the class. Tahina Pau-Pau, the number 14 prospect in the entire country, one of the top 5 point guards, visited for the spring game, came away impressed, said she had a great time on that visit, she could end up choosing the Ducks. They got Kylie Watson visiting here this next weekend. She's the number 5 forward in the entire country and the number 4 player in the country, Caitlin Clark. And this is going to happen now in women's basketball. The next Sabrina Ionescu. And you're going to get that label on a number of players. Caitlin Clark is the first player since Sabrina came out in the class of 2016 that people are starting to kind of try to label. She plays like her. That's the way people want to label her, is the next Sabrina Ionescu. She is best friends with Sydney Parrish. And I talked to Sydney, and she said, I wanted to be the first. Somebody had to be the first in this class to get the ball rolling, to get things exciting for this class. So I went ahead and was the first. Angela Dugalich is the second. And she said, after I committed, I spent the next day talking to Caitlin, trying to get her to want to come join me in Eugene. Caitlin Clark is considering Oregon. She may end up taking a visit to Oregon. And Sydney Parrish, the number 1 guard in the nation, is in her ear to try to get her there. To no one's surprise, Marcus, the Oregon Ducks, with Sabrina coming back with that letter about building the next dynasty, are building off of that with arguably the best recruiting class in the nation.
Nothing but momentum. I mean, they have it all going for them. They really do. And you could argue that if a couple calls or maybe a couple, you know, shots went in, that they should be playing in the national championship game, or they should have. So especially when you get Sabrina Ionescu back, you just have so much going for you in that program. That program, I mean, it seems like out of nowhere, all of a sudden you're like, my goodness, like, they're crazy good, right? And I think it's just for both the women's at Oregon and Oregon State. I don't even understand. Both the teams are great, but it's just the fact
like,
that...
It seemed like Oregon State happened over time.
Yeah, yeah.
We saw it coming. Yeah. Oregon went from bad.
Yeah.
They broke the streak of, like, I forget how many years, 13 years without making an NCAA tournament, or a 10 seed, and then made the Elite Eight. And then from then on have been good.
Yeah.
I
think Kelly Graves has done a great job. And
flipped.
Just the fact that, it really did flip. And just the prospects that they've got. It's crazy. It's just unreal. They've really taken their program to the next level.
We're really lucky right now in this state. I think, you know, there almost isn't a sport where between Oregon and Oregon State you don't have a really interesting team.
Mm-hmm.
We got Oregon basketball. We got Oregon football. We got Oregon and Oregon State women's basketball. We've got Oregon State baseball coming off a national championship.
Yeah.
Track and field. Oregon's always good in track and field. Mm-hmm. Every season, there's at least one team in the mix at a really high level, and you're seeing a high-level talent. Nick Madrigal was the number 4 pick in the baseball draft. Sabrina Ionescu was going to go number 1. Justin Herbert's going to be a first-round pick. You can watch top-flight talent in Oregon almost every season, and a potential first-round pick or a top 5 pick at almost every sport right now. It really is an incredible time in the state, because both are pretty loaded at different sports. Now, Oregon State would obviously like to be better right now in basketball and football, but they've got some other sports that they're exceptional in.
Yeah.
So there is a package that's working there. We're pretty lucky.
We are. I come to think about it, I just never really thought about it like that, right? I think there's always been a sport, at least one sport for each school, that it's pretty dang good, no matter what it is.
And you're seeing a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, football,
it's
women's
crazy.
Basketball. I mean, and then the Ducks with Bol Bol got hurt, but Luke King's going to be a high pick. It's remarkable. You're seeing high-level talent. Not every state has that going on. And people are starting to kind of recognize it a little bit. I don't know if you – I don't think people realize how many kids play Madden and how big a deal that is. Madden 2020.
That's huge.
Madden 2020 released the 10 programs today that you can be as your create a player to end up being like the storied quarterback that goes at a high level. And Oregon's one of the 10 programs on that list. Washington is not.
I want to know how they choose it. I don't know.
I don't know either. But I think Clemson and Alabama and Miami and Florida and Florida State.
I don't think Alabama's on it.
Alabama's not on it?
No, it's LSU.
Is it LSU? Do you have the rundown right there?
I was just looking at it because I was just blown away. Let me find it. Oh, here it is. It's Florida and LSU. It's Oregon and USC, Texas Tech and Texas, Oklahoma and Clemson, then Miami and Florida State.
No Michigan, no Ohio State.
Nope.
Wow. I wonder how that gets chosen.
I don't know.
There's some schools left off that list. But but if you're on that list, that almost makes you one of those bona fide schools that kids growing up now, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, yeah, are going to grow up like, I'm going to be from one of these 10 schools to be an elite quarterback. It sends that message for you. It's a good thing.
It's some nice recruiting.
It's some really nice.
It is.
And that's the thing is, like, people don't understand how many different layers come into this. People find out, it's like, well, our visit was cool and whatever. It's like, yeah, but like, these kids start playing video games early. It's what offenses they like to play. I had a kid tell me one time that he took a visit to Oregon. He got interested in Oregon. I said, how come? And he said, Oregon's team, when I played college football, the old college football game, I wouldn't lose when I was Oregon because realistic. They had such a really good offense that I wanted to then go be a part of that offense.
It was funny.
That was his only reason. I said, did you watch him on TV? No. I just, when I played with my friends, I was Oregon, and that's what made me interested enough to take a visit. Now, he didn't end up going there, but when that kind of thing happens and you're getting extra visits because you're good in video games, people don't realize how many different layers go into this thing. It's another layer. It's just one more layer.
It really is. It's crazy. I remember, I mean, I would, my top three schools my top three when I was, you know, trying to decide where I want to go, it was Oregon State, it was University of Washington, and University of Oregon. And I mean, I played as my little, you know, air quote character in that game. And I was like, man, just imagine me number six playing for, you know, Oregon State as a running back, or me as, you know, number six for the Ducks or the Huskies. And then when you get, you know, I mean, then you realize that you don't get to have a good number as soon as you get there, but that's different.
It's going to take some time, Marcus, to get that number six. That's a prestigious number. Next week, we've been talking about this off the air quite a bit because I have said that I think Oregon State is doing some things wrong in recruiting. So let's stop the negativity. I mean, it's honest, but it's negativity nonetheless.
Whoa, let's go.
How do we brand them? Let's brand them. Let's give them a brand. If you're going to say, fine, if we're going to be critical of them, let's tell them what we would do, what we think we would do to make the brand special. And I think we've got some things that would really work and be real positives in Corvallis. Mm-hmm. We will talk about that next week and also probably interview another Duck recruit. That'll be next week on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. Thanks for listening.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.